E-cigarettes have quickly grown into a multi-billion dollar industry, $2.6 billion in case you lost count. Promise of e-cigarettes is that they're a safer alternative to tobacco cigarettes and can even be a way for some to quit smoking. Joining us now is an expert on addictions who says that the results of this rapid increase of e-cigarette use is leading many teens in an opposite direction, away from quitting, and in effect becoming a gateway to more tobacco and nicotine use and therefore addiction, putting them at risk in a variety of ways. She's the Associate Director of the New Jersey Association of Mental Health and Addiction Agency, Shauna Moses. Good morning, Shauna.
Good morning.
And the website is njamhaa.org. We, of course, have a link over to our website at issuesandideasradio.com. And as I said, Shauna, the market and the money, the e-cigarettes have been become such a cash cow, $2.6 billion, even Big Tobacco is now buying up the original e-cigarette companies, and it's all under one big umbrella. So for a claim to be that the e-cigarettes by the same companies who are putting out traditional cigarettes is a safer alternative, how believable is that?
I don't think it's believable at all, and we have some experts showing some evidence, although more research is needed. For example, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Tom Frieden, had said that the e-cigarettes do contain a heat nicotine-laced liquid, and nicotine is dangerous for youth at any age. Their brains are still developing, and the exposure to this nicotine-laced liquid or the pure nicotine itself is adversely affecting the brain that is still developing, and that can lead to the risk of addiction later in life. So whether it's an e-cigarette or a traditional cigarette, it's still a risk for the brain development and the possible addiction in future years.
And when the claim, or I guess the most often tagline for e-cigarettes is less nicotine than cigarettes, which isn't true because according to the Tobacco Atlas, there's as much nicotine in one disposable e-cigarette as there is in one pack of 20 traditional cigarettes, 24 milligrams.
Right. I think the difference between the e-cigarettes and the traditional cigarettes are the lack of carcinogens, but there's the other harmful ingredients that, I guess, are downplayed in the promotional materials about the e-cigarettes that really needs to be paid attention to, and the risks about all those other components that are in the e-cigarettes really needs to be taken into account. And then I'd like to also highlight the connection between the mental health aspects and the physical health aspects that the e-cigarettes as well as traditional cigarettes cause or contribute to, and that overall mental health and physical health are very closely related, and the risk factors need to be minimized as much as possible for everyone's health overall to be as strong as possible. And so risk factors need to be minimized. Protective factors need to be maximized, and that includes avoiding any kind of smoking, whatever kind of product it is, avoiding other kinds of harmful substances, and taking other positive steps in our lifestyles to protect and enhance our physical and our mental health as much as possible.
Talking with Shauna Moses, who is the Associate Director of the New Jersey Association of Mental Health and Addiction Agencies, njamhaa.org on the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Having never shopped for e-cigarettes, and it's been 100 years since I am a reformed smoker from a long, long, long time ago, was still under a buck and a half a pack. That's how long ago that was. But is an e-cigarette cheaper than traditional cigarettes, by and large?
I actually haven't bought any, so I don't know the cost off the top of my head. But my personal view is that any money spent on anything that can harm your health is a lot of money and not worth it. I think if anyone's going to spend money for something that they enjoy, it should be something that's going to enhance their health, something that's going to be food that's enjoyable or a gym membership or just something that's going to harm their health. And I know it's easier said than done. Since I've never smoked, I can't really relate personally, and I know it's For someone who has smoked, I know it's not easy to give it up, and I only know that kind of secondhand or third hand. So I don't mean to preach or lecture, but no one's life is worth the risk. Every life is precious, and I would just like to reinforce that everyone should try to make the most of their life and not do anything that could potentially take away any time from their life. For example, I do educational programs about mental health and physical health, and we talk about how people with serious mental illness statistically have a lifespan of 25 years shorter than the general population. And it's mostly because they're not getting treatment for their mental health, and that's related to stigma, which is a whole other conversation. But they commonly have co-occurring physical disorders, and probably because they're not treating them either. And that could be because if they're severely mentally ill, they're not in the frame of mind or maybe not capable of dealing with the physical illness or the mental illness. So both of those kinds of illnesses are becoming exacerbated and more complicated and harder to deal with and leading to this shorter lifespan. And so we're talking to middle school and high school students, and we're saying, so do any of you want to give up 25 years of your life? And, of course, no one raises their hand, so we're very glad to see that. Yeah. And so even people who are older need to think of that, too. Would anyone want to give up any amount of time in their life? So we'd like to try to have people think of what they have to live for and think of ways to ensure that they can enjoy those things in their lives for as long as possible. And smoking and other harmful lifestyle choices can ultimately limit the ability to enjoy those things in your lives. So back to the cost question, I just think it's better to put money towards things that do not take away from what can ultimately restrict
be beneficial and enjoyable in a positive way versus in an addiction way. And I ask that question too only because if an e-cigarette, which is something that could be used repeatedly and refillable, and the refills could be cheaper than going out to buy a new pack of cigarettes, especially with the way that traditional cigarettes are being taxed, and a little ratio on that too, the working theory is every 10% that a pack of cigarettes goes up in cost, it decreases use by the public in general by 4%. So the more it costs, obviously, less people are going to use it. But looking at the just how prevalent e-cigarette use is among teens. This is from the American Cancer Society. For kids in grades 6 through 8, 3% in a survey said they've tried e-cigarettes. 1% say they are frequent users. And if you go up to the next demographic, grades 9 through 12, basically high school, 12% said that they've at least tried e-cigarettes. 5% of kids in that age said that they are regular and frequent users. So it's becoming a gateway, Shauna, and eventually when something is a gateway, you need more of it to get what you are getting from it now, and that goes into harder, you know, maybe smokeless tobacco, maybe cigars, maybe traditional cigarettes follow someone starting with e-cigarette use.
Yeah, unfortunately, and I think that is likely to happen. It's an unfortunate trend, and it reminds me of the heroin epidemic also, because heroin is cheap and easy to get as well, and leading to other drug use, and it's a cycle that it's hard to break, and we have to keep trying through education to try to prevent people from getting into that cycle to begin with. It's a challenge, definitely. We have a ways to go.
So while the initial design of e-cigarettes was for the heavy smoker to ease back, because cold turkey doesn't work for anyone, and common sense is tough when you're addicted to something to sink in, e-cigarettes had their purpose, and granted, it's probably worked for a great number of people, but it was not designed for a starting block for kids to smoke, and for the big tobacco companies who have embraced the e-cigarette and are now making billions off of them. A little honesty in marketing and the little care and caution that you're using with your traditional product should be applied to your current product as well. To learn more about the work And the mission of the New Jersey Association of Mental Health and Addiction Agencies, that's among the, well, you can learn at their website, njamhaa.org. And we've been joined by their associate director, Shauna Moses. Shauna, thanks so much for bringing us an awareness of this issue, for being here this morning.
Thank you very much.